Welcome back to another Sesshin. A bunch of old hands. All of us here been here before. The first day of this journey. So maybe nothing really needs to be said because you all know what the practice is. You know how it goes. So maybe I just can give voice to what we're doing here. Remind ourselves. One image that came to mind this morning was Sesshin as a trellis. A lattice work. Support for plants to grow, for vines and other tall plants that need support. So the trellis is just a support. And the plant grows whether or not there's a trellis, right? Plants just grow naturally. The trellis doesn't even really help the plant to grow. It just offers a platform, a place for the plant to express its flowers up in the air. So the flowers aren't like lost in the ground, in the weeds on the ground. Helps it to kind of spread out and flourish. So our true nature doesn't really need any trellis. It's growing all the time. It's alive. It's unstoppable. And yet we can create various trellises to spread those flowers out into the air, express the life of the plant in that particular way. And I think that's a beautiful thing to do. Many different types of trellises. But one of the problems or pitfalls in building a trellis to express these flowers of our nature is that we get so involved in building the trellis we forget what it's about. We get caught up in the details of the trellis, very beautiful details. If you notch all the wood just like that and have it all fit together just right. And that is our job, take care of the details. Take care of the details so that we have this support. You could say any kind of technique, any kind of practice technique is like this trellis. That's what we're doing. Our work is to work on the technique or build the trellis. But it's not just for the sake of building a trellis. just to support and express Buddha nature. So we're all kind of used to this particular trellis called Sesshin. I think all the aspects of it through the day are these kind of time-tested supports for our nature to bloom. The posture, upright body, not slouching into a contracted, closed vessel, but upright and open body. And relaxed. I think relaxation, I don't know if it's the most important aspect of the trellis. Maybe if we're really sleepy, it's maybe not the most important aspect that we have to work on. More like invigorating our energy. But I think relaxation is a really big one, especially because we spend so much time in busyness and complications that aren't necessarily relaxed. So really deeply relaxing while upright and present really invites those nature flowers to blossom. In Zazen, part of relaxing is using the breath to really settle the body and the breath body. One aspect of that I'm really appreciating these days is when breathing in, breathing in the breath down into the navel, the dantian, and even further down to like the base of the spine. That whole area, I think, between like the navel and the base of the spine, inside the body, right? Could even say the navel area in the spine and down to the base of it. Those, 6 inches or however long that is. When breathing in, as I understand it, it's, we might think that our muscles are working to have the breath come in, but it seems that the diaphragm that moves the lungs is actually, that muscle is relaxing when we breathe in. It's breathing out is actually the contraction of the diaphragm, right? So although an out breath seems more like a release, a relaxation, a sigh is like this release. Actually, that's a muscle contraction. It's my understanding. There's other muscles involved here too, so I think there's always a kind of push and pull of muscles. But the main big muscle of the diaphragm is, as we breathe in, that one is relaxing. So it's more like, if we totally relax, if we just kind of relax all the muscles in here, then actually the lungs open up and a breath comes in. To me, that's kind of counterintuitive. It doesn't seem like it would be that way. It would seem the opposite. Do you know what I mean? But I think that's so wonderful. Because when totally relaxing, the breath comes in and comes all the way down And sometimes this is, I think this is, especially in Sesshin, you can really start to notice, at least I notice, those 6 inches of the lower spine between, we might call the navel chakra, is that energetic area behind the navel, but around the spinal column, and then down to the very base. That area is tends to hold some tension, at least for me, often there's some tension. So in really deeply relaxing it, almost like if you had, even if you had to pee even just a little bit, if you really relaxed there, it would probably just come out. And there's almost like there's this aliveness in that lower spine when really relaxing. Sometimes it's said that the nature of our mind, or our kind of spacious awareness that we are, is like a lame rider riding on the blind horse of this, of our energy and breath. Like it needs this subtle energy to be flowing freely, very closely linked with the breath, and that's its vehicle. This awareness as this vehicle of this subtle energy and breath. It's like a blind horse, very fast, healthy horse, but it doesn't know where to go. If we just, you know, let our energy, if we don't direct it at all, it disperses. And this awareness is like a very clear-eyed, knowing rider, but lame in the sense that, like, his legs don't work. Her legs don't work. She she needs to, this vehicle, this blind horse, to work together. So this isn't, again, this is a realm of trellis. This is kind of like technique stuff, just to support the inconceivable. So, and of course, part of this relaxing is really letting go of all our discursive stuff. Maybe if we're here for some days or the whole sesshin, kind of feels like, well, we maybe can take a whole day to kind of like review our past life up to this point, and because we have so many more days, we can indulge some stories. But what a gift to just release them, let them go. We don't have to worry about much of anything during this time. And presence, being present. We might say, that's not the trellis anymore, that's more like the, isn't that more like the vine? But I would say, actually, presence is still, being totally present here and now is still the trellis. It's the upper limits of the trellis that are like very, just very thin little slats. They're, you know, very, very neat, refined aspects of the trellis. They invite those top flowers on the vine, the really little exquisite ones, to bloom. You could say many of the other practices in Sesshin are to support presence, really being here and now, that upper part of the trellis. And then everything we do. So then we get up from zazen and service, and the doshi offers incense on behalf of everyone, so we can at that time we can imagine that that we are in our heart also is making this offering to all the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas of fragrant incense and light and flowers. There's an incense offering verse that goes, virtue, presence, one-pointedness, liberation, incense, or fragrance, like bright clouds pervading the universe, I offer to the boundless Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha in 10 directions, universally perfuming the realization of nirvana. So it seems like it's just a stick of some Japanese herbs or something that we're offering, but really it's virtue, sila, samadhi, and vimoksha, incense, the fragrance of our practice. That's what we're really offering. So therefore you don't have to worry that you're not actually putting the incense stick in there. It's just a symbol for our practice that we're offering to all the Buddhas. And then we avow all our twisted karma, that as we just chanted, this is the cause and condition of obstacles in practicing the way. In the realm of where there appears to be obstacles, it seems to be our twisted karma. So we just acknowledge, okay, I am distracted. Period. Now I release it. And then upon that avowal, I take refuge in Buddha, our true nature, Dharma and Sangha. And then we chant the Heart Sutra that's about the way that the trellis and the living vine are not separate. The trellis itself is, in a way, divine. That whole, it looks like just the trellis, but actually it's, you can't separate the trellis and the vine that grows on it. The relationship between practices and the inconceivable life, form and emptiness. And then we offer the merit. And then we have all the complicated trellis of Oryoki meals and so on. And this Sesshin in particular, that Eno and I were talking, and said, let's for this Sesshin really try to get into the practice of silence, like outside of the Zendo in particular. Sometimes it's hard. I mean, it's always hard. So it's almost like like an experiment, and it's a pretty small Sesshin, and because we're all kind of like, I've done this before, it might be really possible. So far, I think it's really been the one break that we've had was unusually quiet, actually. So I think if we, the idea was, let's really communicate by notes. Totally inconvenient. I don't like it myself. But I love it. it's an extra step, but I think it makes that little difference. It's just being really conscious what needs to be said here, especially as the days go on and we get more and more relaxed and loose. Let's see if we can keep it going. Some words might be spoken. I think we don't want to get neurotic about this, and I think this is the problem with this thing about you create a really strong trellis and you get so into like the trellis must be just this way, and then we miss what it's all about. So really let's try to maintain silence on breaks, and if we have to whisper some communication, then choose the words to make like the most essential message. Just for this unique, unusual thing we call Sesshin. To support the Buddha, nature, flowers to blossom. So let's really look at that, at our relationship to the forms, the trellis. Like, how do we really take care of them wholeheartedly without getting caught in just like trying to perfect some forms? And I mean like the outer forms we do together to practice in harmony, but also the particular techniques of Zazen that we're working on. You know, following the breath, counting the breath, even just being present. All these are like techniques and forms. How can we be devoted to them without thinking that that's all there is to it? That's all the conventional truth. And meanwhile, at the same time, there's this ever-growing vine that never began and will never die, that's growing all over this trellis of the breath flowing in and out. As we attend the trellis, how can we appreciate more and more the vine? The classic Zen saying, you know, that all these teachings, and you could say practices and forms, are like the finger pointing at the moon. And we just don't want to mistake the finger for the moon. Very easy to do. And we know this kind of thing, but it can get quite like, we might feel like, oh no, I'm actually following the breath, I'm really here, there's not much discursive thought, and there's a feeling, this is another one, now I'm feeling really, really relaxed and spacious. It reminds me of Sesshin. This might happen, it might not. What do I get into like, oh yeah, this is what it's all about. I feel great, all genki and peppy and relaxed, and I'm like noticing all these plants and things that I never noticed before. These are all like side effects of Sesshin. Wonderful, beautiful. And still, I would say that's all the trellis. Anything that we're like consciously know is still the conventional truth. Still like, almost like the finger pointing still. This feeling of really relaxed and open is not really the goal of Sesshin. It's still kind of like the finger, very nice finger, pointing and saying, oh, this is, may this feeling, may this nice feeling be a reminder that, of the moon, that we can't see it. The finger is much more interesting and tangible, easier to relate to. And then we might have the opposite problem of, instead of the problem of, oh, I feel so great and open and spacious and present, it's like not that bad a problem. Or we might have the other problem of like, oh, I feel so like I haven't gotten up this early in a long time. I like totally drowsy and like it's already getting painful and bored and it's in a beautiful day and like why did I sign up for this? Maybe, I don't know where you're all at, but same trellis as maybe it's the lower part of the same trellis. It's not those refined little top pieces that are just like presence. It's like the rough, thicker pieces to support the top, where it's like just they're kind of nailed together and they're not even, they're all splintery. And but still, it's equally, the flowers of this vine is growing all over the entire trellis. So that's like that splintery rough wood is also like pointing to the same moon.
Sometimes I feel like I do not want to be too dependent on the trellis. I don't want my practice to be too dependent on the trellis or on any type of support. For example, I usually have a problem rather than feeling overly peppy. Have the opposite problem of feeling pretty drowsy. I don't have trouble getting up so much in the morning, but it's sustaining it throughout the later part of the morning that I have trouble with. So the temptation is to like take lots of naps and breaks and drink lots of coffee or tea. But I feel like I don't want to do those things because I don't want to have to do those things in order to practice. Like, I don't want to become dependent on naps and dependent on caffeine and dependent on other things in order to specifically stay awake, but in a broader sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think it's good to not be dependent on any particular thing. You could say, in a way, this whole conversation could be framed as a conversation about the two truths. The trellis is like the conventional truth. The dependently arising appearances of our life and the Buddha nature vine is like the ultimate truth that we can't really even see. And the two truths always work together. So we are, Buddha nature, our true empty awareness is actually always dependent on some form. You could say it's dependent on some conventional, like we're in a body. There's no emptiness without form, for example. But particular, like I don't want to always have to take a nap. Like that's good. And then I think in Sesshin we can play with those things. And you could say that our true empty aware nature doesn't depend on being peppy, actually, right? So if we're looking at that, like from that perspective, it's like you might have been asking more like, I want to be peppy without depending on coffee and naps.
So I don't even know if I wouldn't have to be peppy. I settled for merely
just awake.
Drowsy.
Yeah, well, even not drowsy. Like, I want to be not drowsy in a way that's not dependent on particular things. But, and that we might be able to work with that. And that's the whole thing, could be like conventional practices we're doing to not be drowsy. But again, from, if we're talking about, we don't want the empty awareness to be dependent on any particular thing. That works very nicely all the time, because it doesn't even, you can be totally drowsy and still, your true nature doesn't change in the slightest. So, and you could say, well, but so, I don't appreciate it. So we say our practice is just about appreciating that empty awareness, then that could be an interesting question. Like, can I appreciate, we're talking about something inconceivable anyway, this empty awareness. It's not like something that we can, like, that's why I say even when we're really present, alert, and clear, that's not it. That's just, manifestations of it that are very close to it. It's like the fingers almost touching the moon, but it never touches. But you could say, because it's unknowable, inconceivable anyway, it could be equally appreciated when totally drowsy and like totally distracted. Because, it doesn't care whether we're drowsy or distracted or really present and clear and alert. By understanding that the way that nature doesn't need any particular, doesn't rely on any particular state of mind, then you don't need to rely on being alert. But it's like, if you want to do the trellis thing of being alert, then you maybe have to then you can play with whether you have to rely on a nap or not. Does that make sense? It's like, again, I think I bring this up partly because I think we sometimes feel like sesshin is all, we're so into the trellis, like, well, I can't realize who I am if I'm not really awake and alert. So then we need to work on that, and it's good to work on those things, I think. But let's also remember, even right at the beginning here, that the true, like, way the sesshin is, and the way our nature is, and the way our awareness actually is not either clear and awake or dull and distracted. It's like outside the it's what's growing on the trellis. So as we work on the trellis, it's good to work on. Just keep remembering that that the vine is not anything that we're like thinking about or working on. Yeah.
This very thing brings up something real similar in me. It's like, I have that judgment of, I should be awake. I'm trying to be awake. And so the grogginess, the tiredness, the sleepiness, I find annoying. And so, you start this little battle of resistance to that annoyance, because you think it should be a certain way.
Yeah.
I want to be awake. Mm-hmm. Be present, and yet I'm doing, I'm nodding out, I'm really sleepy. Mm-hmm. And so what I'm hearing from you, and please correct me if I'm wrong, is that we can actually let go of that idea of what's right or wrong in this moment, and just be in this moment, letting go of the judgments, letting go kind of how I want it to be. I want to be wide awake. I don't want to be drowsy.
Yeah. And even the letting go of it is still part of the trellis. right? But that is, I think it's, again, it's a, it, we can let go of it if we remember that the whole thing is just a trellis. I think that helps us to let go. This whole Sesshin thing that we made so much effort to get here and do this, we're like, you know, it's like we're taking it pretty seriously. I mean, just to be here, like, we have to take it pretty seriously, right? Or else we wouldn't be here. And like, we put aside other stuff to do this, and it's kind of hard. So I think that's part of the design, and it's part of the trick, is can we, like, even while we wholeheartedly engage it, don't take it, it's not like a joke, you know, but don't take it so seriously that we forget that meanwhile, there's this, you know, it's all in the name of just creating a way to express this vine. And the vine really doesn't care if we're sleepy or awake. So then, if we remember that, that kind of principle, then it might be easier to let go of the judgment. Because I think it's so easy to forget, like, yeah, yeah, I know that, but Sesshin's about being awake. And when we hear this kind of thing, so that's all, you know, we hear that kind of thing, and I think that kind of thing is part of the trellis. There's a particular trellis of Sesshin. So we do say, I try to be awake. Be silent, still, and awake. Sesshin's a time to diligently gather the mind. So, but it's also this particular, I think particularly, our whole life is like this. But Sesshin, you can say, because it's only really about realizing, expressing our true nature, then it's this kind of unique opportunity to, like, how to do something really wholeheartedly, do the form really wholeheartedly, but know that that's not really what it's about. You know, if we're like, if we're teaching somebody driving or something, we could still do it that way too, but it might be really, we're not reminded. It's not like that's the only point of it. It's like, no, they really have to learn driving too. Here it's more like, no, this is really the whole point of this Sesshin, I would say. People might disagree with me, but I would say it's all about just expressing this inconceivable trumpet vine. And so how do we do that? Because if we say, well, then it really doesn't matter, you know, what exactly we do, because it's all equally expressing it, so I think I'll just take the rest of the day off and have like an extended 8-hour nap. Then that's kind of maybe avoiding the flower too, or it's trying to, you know, escape the flower. Like in Dogen's fascicle, Shobo Genzo Gyoji, continuous practice, he says something like, you know, continuous practice is what's always happening, beginninglessly and endlessly. You can't avoid it. But if you try to escape from continuous practice by, like, taking too long a nap or something, then you can't really escape it. You're still in continuous practice, but I think he says something like, but it's a kind of sort of shabby continuous practice. Forget exactly how he says it. You never really lose it, but it's just, you know, the trellis is just, it's all this splintery wood. It's fine that it's splintery wood, but like, part of the game is let's make a really beautiful trellis.
A couple of things. Uchiyami Roshi says in that opening hand of thought, says something like, you can't sleep forever. I mean,
that's true.
So, yeah, he doesn't, like you were saying, he doesn't put too much, you know, bad on it. Me, I'm sleepy too, and part of me is certainly afraid that hit my head against the wall. That's a thing that keeps me awake.
That's good. Good technique.
And then just you know, showing up for everybody else and kind of supporting the sangha is kind of why we're here in a way.
That's a great point, yeah, that we do it together. So even if it's like, my practice is not going well and I came here to realize enlightenment or something, then still like, no, actually as a bodhisattva, it's fine that I'm sleeping, but like, how can I help keep everybody else awake? Maybe I should hit my head on the wall and that'll wake people up. The sound will wake people up.
I'm feeling the kiyosaku. Mm. Wishing it was there. Mm.
But right, that it's where Uchiyama Roshi talks about that, right, when he says we don't use the kyosaku on Taiji, right, for that reason. He said, you know, you can try to wake people up again and again, but like, we don't use it because they'll eventually wake up. I think that's the context, yeah. So, yeah, kind of like that.
And we don't want to become dependent.
Yeah, there you go, yeah.
Like, oh, you know, I don't really have to exert that much effort because the kyosaku is about to come around and I'll get a nice jolt.
Yeah. So, you know, and I think things like, you know, drinking tea and coffee is like, I think we can just, I think it doesn't matter that much. You know, we could say, well, we want, trying to not want to rely on that, is then we want to rely, then we're now we're relying on that non-reliance. Do you know what I mean? It's a little bit subtler, but it's like, I want to have the practice where I don't need any particular thing like that, but that's another kind of reliance. Now I'm relying on this, like, not needing any particular thing. Does that make sense? If you kind of look at it.
I feel like I would rather rely on some pure idea of my own energy, wherever that's coming from, rather than caffeine. I mean, my energy is coming from food anyway.
So I think
somewhere.
If you would rather, then I think that's totally fine. That's right, but I think it doesn't, like, when I say it doesn't matter so much, from this wider perspective, I think it doesn't matter so much. Like, well, no, I really want to be awake now, and like, you know, maybe three cups of coffee might do it a little bit. Let's try it. I think it's like, okay, you know, it's okay as long as we know that it's, you know, if we're doing that in order to like, because that's a more, our nature will be more true or something, then that's off track. But it's more like, I just would like to be awake, and I realize I'm doing this because I would like to be awake. I think it's okay. And then but you might be the other way. You might be like, I like to feel like I don't have to rely on anything, so I'm gonna like try to be awake without that. That's okay too. I think they're both, you know, there's some validity to both of them. I think it's just whatever we like. This is just in the realm of what we like. We like to sit really still. We like to move. We like to kinin better than zazen. We like zazen better than kinin. We like breakfast better than lunch or whatever. It's kind of nice. And the nice thing about zazen is there's not that much choice. So whatever we like, we get some of it, and we get some of what we don't like. But there's a little bit of choice around how much coffee and so on. So then we can just know, like, yeah, I like to feel that way. But I think that to just acknowledge that, that's not really, I mean, I have those feelings, you know. But I want to remember that that's not really the... what it's all about. Even being concentrated or not concentrated, even that's not really what it's about. But that's a nice trellis thing to work on.
So I don't see any notes in front of you, so I think we're just seeing where this is going.
We're just seeing.
Yeah. So I would ask you to, can you say some words about don't waste time.
Don't waste time.
Yeah, what would be...
Well, from the perspective of this talk so far, I think we could say that wasting time would be like when we, basically just forget about this beautiful living plant and it's just all about, it becomes all about the trellis. You know, does that make sense? That's kind of like wasting, maybe a little bit strict version of wasting time. Does that make sense? What that would be? It's a little bit like, you know, what is paying attention to the plant if you can't see it, you can't know it, it's inconceivable, and yet it's who we truly are. So I say it's strict because we might be like, I am like so present now, my posture's just right, my breath is just those 6 inches between the navel and the base of the spine, it's all lined up just right like this. You know, from what I'm saying now, I think that's still wasting time. Because if we're just like, here it is, the form has been perfected. The form has been perfected. The trellis is like shining, you know, still like a waste of time if we're not appreciating this inconceivable, large, boundless life of this unstoppable plant, this vine that's taking over the universe, going into every crack in the sidewalk and breaking it open, but without the mirror. We're talking about the mirror, right? If we're not appreciating the mirror, even if our what is this line from Dogen's Acupuncture Needle of Zazen? We really struggled with this section of that fascicle a lot, the last session. Something like, even if you're like Zazen is crystal clear, I'm kind of embellishing or adding to this, but the sense is like your Zazen's crystal clear, perfectly present, shining, alert, this sitting is still not reaching the principle. I think is how Dogen says it. So you could say, if we're just like appreciating the alert, crystal clear Zazen, but not the principle, being the mirror, the principle is the mirror or the vine, then it's a little bit, it's not wasting time so badly, but I think if we're not appreciating this large, empty, aware nature, because it's who we really are, then we're not really appreciating our life fully. Which maybe most of the time, maybe almost all the time, we're like slightly wasting time. Yes.
So, in this analogy with the trellis and the plant, which one of those represents practice?
The trellis is practice. We could say the trellis is practice. Everything that we know of is practice.
Okay.
And we could say that the plant is realization or verification.
Okay, with that, coming back to our notes in the sutras, well, how does that entail with the very catchy and keen practicing secretly working within like a fool, like an idiot. It's so obvious.
Well, also, just if we're saying that if practice is the trellis and verification or realization is the vine, I just want to make sure that we acknowledge this point that Dogen says practice and realization are not two. So the our building the trellis in this case is really not the slightest bit separate from the vine. But if we kind of neglect the vine, then we neglect the non-separation. Then we're just need the practice, or we're neglecting the realization. And then practice secretly, you could say that's a trellis building instruction. Practice secretly, working within, and you could say, and you could say this, these two sides, practice secretly, working within, that's the building the trellis, and then what that's really like when you're practice secretly working within is like a fool, like an idiot. That's the vine, the foolish vine that's like, it's totally out of control. You can't tame that vine. I mean, the trellis is kind of somewhat taming it. It's giving it a place, but it's going to grow where it wants. Foolishly, idiotically.
It must represent something in regards of maybe not progressing, but sort of like secretly growing, like student or as a priest or anything, just that from within, mm-hmm. that's happening, and it's not noticeable. People would say that guy's an idiot, he's a fool, but secretly he's attaining the Buddha way, or she's attaining the Buddha way by working within, and then it's like she's not exasperating all of her successes or anything like that. It's just happening, with her in her nature.
Yeah. With all of it. I mean, practice is an inner, it's an outer and an inner thing. So we, all the forms we do outwardly, and we're supporting each other in the physical world where we can see and hear things happening. But then the inner work of dropping off body and mind.
Is the purpose of a sashimi thing?
Inner and outer, inner and outer practice, and the realization that's not separate from the practice. I don't think the purpose is not just, I mean, in a way, if we're talking conventionally, you can say the purpose is just practice, but with the whole story, then we say the purpose is practice and verification, and the verification, it's not separate from the practice, but it's inconceivable. The practice is conceivable. Even if it's secret, it's still like conceivable, I would say. But the verification is not like Buddha says, oh, by the way, Kokyo, I verify your practice now. Here's a diploma. That's not the inconceivable verification. But you all know, like, the situation. Check out the real situation. Talking in the words, what we do. So this may be all just a complicated way of saying, let's keep taking care of all the practices and forms of sashin and presence and awareness and awakeness and all of that. And meanwhile, from beginning to end, there's just this background awareness that's just watching the play unfold, saying, oh, this one is really sleepy and wants to wake up. This one's really, really awake and thinks that's the end. This one is like neither awake nor asleep, but they're just planning next week. And they're all equally incredibly beautiful manifestations of me, the mirror. Just passing reflections. May our intention equally extend everywhere, up, down, right, left, inside and out, with the true merit of Buddha's way. Beings are numberless. I vow to save them. Delusions are inexhaustible. I vow to end them. Dharma gates are boundless. I vow to enter them. Buddha's way is unsurpassable. I vow to become it.